Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And we go a little something like this. Hit it. I dig it. Come on.
Yeah, there should be a debate. They said they were going to do a debate. They didn't put out the criteria publicly. I don't think the RPOF ever voted on any type of criteria. I've heard secondhand what the criteria was. I wouldn't have qualified when I ran in 18 for what they were trying to do. And so
all I can think of right now is Governor DeSantis boogieing down to Funky Cole Medina. I mean, we've seen Marco Rubio spin, so... I want to see the governor do some 80s throwback rap. Okay, so, or 90s, I guess, anyway. 89, whatever. So Governor DeSantis is pointing out that the Republican Party of Florida has said, no debates. No debates for you for the gubernatorial race that really has four candidates, James Fishback, Jay Collins, Paul Renner, former Speaker of the House, current Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins, former Speaker of the House, Paul Renner, and also Byron Donalds, congressman, who is, by all accounts, the front runner, the Trump endorsee. You know, Trump endorsed him, and now the governor... won't endorse anybody, I think, for political reasons. He doesn't want to go against Trump by endorsing Jay Collins, although he clearly was hoping Jay Collins would be the governor. In any case, he's raising the objection that we're supposed to have a debate. This is how we do. I don't understand. What's the problem?
It's counterproductive when you try to engineer an outcome because you need a coalition of voters to do well. And this may be a tough cycle for Republicans if you look at some of the indicators, the way things are trending. And so... having an open process and having people be able to have their say is always better than to try to engineer an outcome.
Yeah, I mean, it is better. But what the Republican Party of Florida is going to say is, well, we have criteria you've got to meet to get in the debate. You know, you've got to be polling above a certain amount. I think it's 10%. You've got to, you know, have raised $10 million. You've got to have 10,000 supporters. And if you can fit all those things, which, by the way, the governor's wrong, he would have qualified for those in 2018. So that's inaccurate. And they said that Bill Helmick, the party executive director, sent out a memo on Friday saying these are reasonable thresholds. And if nobody breaks the threshold except Byron Donalds, then why should we be having a debate? There's some truth to that, but at the same time, I think the governor's right in pointing out that we just finished qualifying, you know, just today. And if people have, you know, been campaigning, what they want is exposure on a debate. And if somebody is dominating, as Trump did, they're going to duck debates because they want to avoid the possibility of losing ground, losing momentum. And there's also the issue that in a debate, you feed on your own and then the enemy gets, you know, the opponents get their political value out of making clips from the debate that, you know, when Republicans attack their own, Democrats make ads. When Democrats attack their own, then Republicans make ads. And so the cost to the party in what apparently the RPOF is viewing as maybe a closer than you'd think election for the governor's race in the fall. Well, we'll see. So the governor saying, look, you can do a debate, you can do it on TV, you can do it on a podcast, you can do it on the radio. You don't need the party to do this. There's actually been some really weird, and I don't follow all the details of this, there's been some back and forth about James Fishback, there being a debate event or him being at an event and then they saying he can't be at that event because there's allegations that he's anti-Semitic. I don't know enough details on the claims to give you an opinion about it. I will say this. We're in super weird territory right now in the Republican side of the governor's race. I generally want a debate, by the way, if I have not been clear. I think debates are good. I think they're healthy. I think that we should have them. But we have certainly entered the twilight zone in the last 3 or 4 days. Evidence piece one, James Fishback. James Fishback takes a bunch of his supporters and goes and ambushes Byron Donalds outside a Byron Donalds campaign event and then starts yelling at Byron in his earhole with a megaphone as he's walking out to the motorcade. And in order to really understand this, you've got to understand that Byron Donalds is black. Okay? So black Republican candidate would be the first black governor of Florida if he wins, is leaving a campaign event, getting ambushed by one of the less competitive candidates as a Republican, allegations that he's anti-Semitic, and this is what you hear at the outside the event.
Fishback, Fishback, Fishback,
coward, you're a coward. This is that's Fishback yelling on the megaphone. You're a DEI hire. Go back to New York. You're a slave. You're a slave to AIPAC, the American Israeli Israel. Oh, it's not Political Action Committee. It's something else. But it's you're a slave to the Jews. You're a slave to AIPAC. OK, that's what he says. Go back to selling drugs to kids, Byron Donalds. I'm not sure that calling a black man a slave in a megaphone is the best way to advance the party. But this is not the first time. James Uthmeyer, Attorney General, who is not typically the person that I'm going to jump up and praise a whole lot, had this to say when asked about it.
Attorney General, do you have any comment on a Republican governor candidate calling Byron Donalds a slave at a campaign event over this past weekend?
So what do you think about him calling him a slave at a campaign event this past weekend?
I think somebody that's going to call a black candidate a slave clearly has some intentionality there. I think it's gross. I don't think there's any room for that in Republican politics. It's certainly not my brand of politics. I'm not going to give somebody like that any real attention because it's not worth it. It's not worth it to give them a platform. And I think the congressman's probably doing the same thing.
Yeah, I would, you know, I'm fine with everybody having speech. But the party does have the ability to control which candidates it's going to allow to represent it. And if the party wants to say that a guy who calls another Republican a black man a slave in public, we don't want that representing us. I mean, that's the party's job to control that and decide that. There's more, by the way. We've only started down this road.
There's more?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. This, we got the full Milton yesterday. This in a moment. Trust me. Just it's worth it. Hang on. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on 9 Mile going westbound toward I-10, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right. So I said it got even better in Milton yesterday. I mean, how could it get better than one Republican gubernatorial candidate facing allegations or accusations of being anti-Semitic is actually actively calling a black candidate a slave in public because 2026. Anyway, so at the Jay Collins event, which took place in Milton at Gray Man Armory, I think it's Gray Man Armory, it's a gun store in Milton. Anyway, he got asked about the comment that being allowed to be in a debate below the threshold would be a participation trophy. That was made by the campaign chief for Byron Donalds on Friday. And so he apparently had not heard this or pretended that he did not hear it, whichever, doesn't matter. But he got asked by a reporter about this thing. Keep in mind, did I tell you that key fact you got to know about this? Jay Collins was in the military, suffered an injury that made him lose a leg. After getting fitted with a prosthetic leg, I believe I got this right. Somebody's going to correct me if I say it wrong, but after that, he went and qualified for the Green Berets with a prosthetic leg and served with distinction in the Green Berets. Now, he talks about this at every campaign stop, which is appropriate because that's his background. It's a pretty amazing story, but you have to know that background to understand what's going to happen here.
Byron Donalds refuses to debate. And he,
I've heard that.
Yes, and he referred to debating you as a participation trophy. What is your thoughts about that?
It wasn't him. It was the campaign manager, but that's a distinction without a difference.
Say that last part again.
He referred to debating you as a participation trophy.
Well, that's an interesting take, I guess. Let's unpack that just a little bit. Look, why is it that we want to have a debate? Who does that best arm? It arms the people. If you are so far ahead and you have all the money and all the endorsements and everything under the sun going for you, why in God's green earth are you afraid to debate?
Yeah, see, I generally agree with that, you know. Have the debate. Even if the folks that are polling, you know, fairly low would generally not be eligible, they are the three alternatives. And I just think it's healthy. If you're going to criticize the Democrats for not, you know, putting Biden up against anybody, not even having a primary for Kamala, you know, really messing around with Bernie and putting him out when they put Hillary in. I mean, if you're going to criticize the other party, you got to do the same thing for yourself. And you don't have to let the 800 people who are trying to run for governor be in it. But these three are the three that are at least in the second tier. OK. And yeah, why not? I mean, I know that it puts Byron Donald at exposure to, you know, giving fodder for the Democrat ads or whatever. But I think he should. And he's going to do fine. I mean, he's very good on his feet. I don't think it'd be a problem for him. Anyway, that's not what was interesting. What was interesting was, well, one more piece here.
I've heard him call for debates in other races around the nation and debates in this very, very state on other races. Why does he think it doesn't work for him? Why does he feel that he doesn't have to live by his own credence on those issues? That's pretty interesting.
And then we had this.
But, you know, the participation trophy is a little, I would say it's a little derogatory, a bit of a slap in the face. Now, look, I don't normally do this.
So he's reaching down. He's unhooking and removing his prosthetic leg.
There's my participation trophy.
And he bangs it on the podium.
You want to know why we can do this? I participated. I did things. I stepped into the breach when he didn't have the courage. He didn't have the will. He probably didn't have the ability. The American people want leaders. They don't want people who are scared of their own shadow, unwilling to bait. Cowardice doesn't win races. Having the courage to act does. Next question.
So, it's poignant. It was all the statewide news. It was everything on social media yesterday. Him taking off his leg, banging it on the podium. I mean, I guess Nikita Khrushchev banged a shoe and Jay Collins banged his full leg, you know. And again, his story is amazing. It is. It is absolutely amazing. It's not really an answer to the question, because whether you serve or serve with distinction is not one of the eligibility criteria for any debate threshold. And I don't know. It seemed to me like a manufactured moment a little bit, you know. To his credit, Chief Deputy Randy Tift and Bob Johnson standing right behind him were like, I'm not saying anything. Bob was kind of nodding. Randy Tift, I thought it was funny. Peter Schorsch had retweeted something that Alex Andrade had tweeted about this, and he basically said, I'm never playing poker against Randy Tift because he doesn't display any reaction. It's not really an answer. And Byron Donalds didn't say it, so it's kind of a weird shot to say he didn't have the courage or the wherewithal to go. Okay, but it's definitely entertaining. So we got one candidate calling a black candidate a slave. We got another candidate waving his prosthetic leg around, saying that the other candidate is basically a coward, and that, you know, he earned the right to be in the debate because he served. So welcome to Florida politics. I would think, John, you've seen the video.
Yeah.
Are we going to make late night TV for this?
Oh, we are.
100%. 110%. Yeah, if it didn't make it last night, it'll probably be tonight.
Milton.
wait. That's not fair. I can't say that and then not give some kind of a, you know, I can't do something.
Very good.
But maybe this one's better. That that event was in any way affiliated with the city council of the great city of Milton, the city where good living flows on the Blackwater River. That's the city slogan. You know that's the city slogan, the city where good living flows?
No, when I lived there.
You learn, you learn things every day.
You do.
All right, I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As America continues to endure sin and debauchery of just about every type, I find myself evaluating my patriotism. For many Christians, it's become increasingly difficult to express patriotism when the powers that be are wholeheartedly endorsing the wickedness of same-sex marriage, abortion, transgenderism, and such the like. However, for me, my patriotism is primarily rooted in gratitude for our country's biblical foundation. My patriotism stems from our country's past in spite of her present. I love that our coins say, "In God we trust," and our pledge still includes one nation under God. Our national anthem declares, "Then conquer we must when our cause it is just," and this be our motto, "In God do we trust." If we want God's continued blessing, we must get back to Him, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020. The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Gallery Night Pensacola brings the streets of downtown to life with over 70 art vendors, live performances, and creative experiences. See GalleryNightPensacola.org for more. Join the Panhandle Butterfly House and Nature Center Saturday from 10 till noon for their annual pollination celebration. It's a day of fun, food, and education. See the Panhandle Butterfly House on Facebook for more. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
The five-day outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
You know, I could drop him at the bus station, but he's been here a while. He's seen a lot. Train station's where I'd leave him.
Actually, another Blackpink song. Pretty sad, but I love this band. They're kind of fun. A little bit profane, but, you know, I play the clean versions. 727 on News Radio 92.3. You already put it on your Apple Music, didn't you, John?
Yeah, I've already
added it to your list. All right. Did we do traffic? Do I need to do traffic?
Yeah, you do.
All right, go on.
All right, brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high wage jobs, private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base?
Boy, I sure did.
Sure did. So proud of you.
All right, go on.
All right, so we've only got one accident on the big board right now. It just happened at Highway 90 and Glover, and they're saying Glover is blocked at this point, so just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10, seeing minor slowdowns if you're going westbound toward the 9 Mile Road exit, and also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, seeing about a 6-minute delay. John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, how on earth do you get Bogey out of B-O-G-G-I-A? Come on now. That's just not right. I'm not saying that's not how you say it. I got it from Wes Moreno. The Rhodes guy would know. All right. Hey, if you if you've got a company and you're working on insurance, or you just, you know, wonder if maybe there's a better way to do it for your employees, or you just want to have somebody kind of come in and look at what you're doing and see, Torgerson Consulting. Reed went over to the city of Milton their last meeting and gave them a whole rundown of, you know, here's what you can do, here's what it would cost you, here's how you might save some money, but it would put you at risk of not getting back in the plan that you're in. Like, it was a great presentation. And to me, it reminded me and demonstrated that he does his homework. They really go out and look for the best plans for your folks, and then they'll present them to you for health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR management, payroll, all of that stuff. They're very, very good at this. How do I know? For 5 years, we've been using them here at News Radio and Cat Country, and they've been great. They're not miracle workers. They can't make the marketplace do what it won't do. But out of what's available, they will find you the best stuff. For 25 years, they've been helping companies just like yours do right by their employees with good benefits programs. 433-9996, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. We're looking at this storm kind of heading our way. It's pretty large. Basically stretches from Houston to all the way east of the Mexico-Texas border into the Gulf of Mexico. And for the next couple of days, we're going to be getting rain and storms. Stop it, John. Off and on. Maybe as much as 10 inches of rain, according to Alan Strum. So be prepared. Not a big storm. They might get a name storm out of this. Might get Arthur. But, you know, won't be a big thing, but it might be, you know, Tropical Storm Arthur. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, first of all, can I just say compliments to the DJ. The music this morning has been...
Oh, you like the Blackpink. It's good. It's fun.
Really,
right? It's
cool, really, yeah.
Yeah, I like them.
The Strait of Hormuz, Andrew, is expected to reopen on Friday thanks to a deal between the U.S. and Iran. That's at least what the Memorandum of Understanding between the two nations says. The memo calls for negotiations to continue for another 60 days. I'm sure nothing can derail it then. And Chick-fil-A, I don't know if I believe this, Chick-fil-A is no longer America's favorite fast food chain.
I saw this. This seems suspect to me.
There's a new report out. It says that Chick-fil-A has been dethroned by Jersey Mike's. Now, Jersey Mike's makes a mean sandwich, but I just don't know if I believe this.
Press X to doubt. I mean, there's got to be metrics behind it, but I have a hard time believing that a subplace replaced Chick-fil-A.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump will take questions at a news conference later this morning to discuss the peace deal with Iran. But during a sit down with the president of Egypt, the president gave a preview.
They will never have a nuclear weapon, so that's very, very strong.
Fox's Peter Ducey at the summit.
In this meeting, he was talking about how if they didn't make a deal right now, there would be a global depression, which speaks to the economic pressure President Trump and his team have been feeling back home, especially with high gas prices.
Oil holding around $76 a barrel, the lowest in 3 months. Alabama Congressman Barry Moore, endorsed by President Trump, raced to victory in the Republican primary to fill the Senate seat of Tommy Tuberville, who is running for governor against former Democratic Senator Doug Jones. An interest rate decision, 2 p.m. today, Eastern Time, from the Federal Reserve. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 77 right now. We've got cloudy skies. Could be another rainy day. We'll get a look at our forecast here. Brooke Richardson's got that for us in just a few minutes. A proposed ECUA trash transfer station in Bellevue drew some pushback from residents at a town hall meeting yesterday. Concerns ranged from smells and pests to plummeting home values. This resident didn't mince his words.
Even a state-of-the-art finest transfer station will reduce my home's value by up to 20%.
And ECUA says the enclosed design would control the odors and the facility would also have weekly pest control. Commissioner Steve Stroberger did say he's not really in favor of the project and hinted at potentially blocking permits. Customers have been paying an extra dollar a month towards the $15 million project for several years now. A portrait of Pensacola's most celebrated military figure has been removed from the Air Force Art Gallery at the Pentagon. His family would like to know why. General Daniel Chappie James Jr. was the first black four-star general in the U.S. Air Force. He was a Tuskegee Airman and, of course, a decorated combat vet. Fought in three wars. Well, the Air Force says the portrait was just relocated during an ongoing gallery renovation that's been ongoing since 2023. They say that several other portraits of James remain displayed in the Pentagon. James's family, though, says that they heard about the removal 18 months ago and never got a clear explanation as to why. An 84-year-old Milton woman facing a felony charge after firing a warning shot at a neighbor who was mowing his lawn. Santa Rosa County deputies say Charlene Davis stepped outside of her home on Atlas Drive last Thursday and fired her .38-caliber revolver into the ground. Ring doorbell video captured that incident, including Davis telling the neighbor that he was waking her up and to watch out. Davis told deputies she fired the shot due to an ongoing dispute. She has been released on $5,500 bond. Well, Congressman Barry Moore has won the Republican nomination for Alabama's U.S. Senate seat, defeating Jared Hudson 56 to 44% in Tuesday's primary runoff. Moore will face Democrat Everett West in November for the seat being vacated by Tommy Tuberville, who plans to run for governor. In other Alabama runoff results, John Wall won the Republican lieutenant governor nomination. Katherine Robertson secured the GOP nod for state attorney general. Well, a Pritchard, Alabama police officer with 12 years on the force is now in federal custody. Investigators say he spent years helping criminals, hiding evidence, and even taking bribes. FBI Special Agent in Charge Chris Flowers tells reporters yesterday that the allegations strike at the heart of the law enforcement's responsibility.
Today's allegations against Officer Dotch are very serious. It's a position of public trust, and so we're asking that anyone with information or any allegations of criminal activity that were done by Officer Dotch to please call 1-800-CALL-FBI.
30 FBI agents, task force officers, and support staff were on scene Tuesday when the Pritchard Police Department headquarters was taped off with crime scene tape. Investigators say the misconduct may involve other officers. A probe is ongoing into that. It's 7:35 right now. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Got one accident on the big board right now. Let's see. It just happened into Highway 90 in Glover. Glover is blocked trying to get onto Highway 90. And we're seeing some major, major delays right there. So just be careful with that. You try to want to plan around it if you can. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing a 7-minute delay. And I-10 westbound approaching 9 Mile through that construction zone, seeing a 6-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at unsettled weather as we head through the end of the week. We will be looking at a 90% chance of those showers and thunderstorms today, high near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Heading into Thursday, another high chance of rain day, 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 82. Going into Friday, we do have a 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 87. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it's 77 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Carvana is using a location in Dallas to test its journey into new vehicle sales. The Dallas location will allow consumers to use test drive areas and a playground to decide which vehicle they would like to buy through Carvana's online platform. Anthropic suspension of Fable and Mythos exposed a new risk for companies building on closed AI models. Access can be cut off without warning. That could accelerate momentum behind open source AI as companies look for models they can download, run on their own infrastructure, and customize around their own data. Databricks said annualized revenue has jumped more than 80% from a year earlier and now sits at $6.9 billion. That's up from $5.4 billion in the fiscal fourth quarter. While Databricks is benefiting from the AI boom, the company's margins are shrinking as clients deploy a host of agents, resulting in higher costs. Futures are mixed as oil prices tick higher and as traders await the Fed's interest rate decision later today. That's Your Money Now.
You've got to try the new TikTok diet.
Just ask Chad.
I just take blue-green algae.
You just have to eat kale. Kale, kale, kale.
I read you should put butter in your coffee.
Or you could trust your gut. When it comes to your energy, digestion, and overall health, how do you know what's actually right for you? That's where Viome comes in. Viome is a simple at-home gut health test that looks at your body's real-time biology using RNA to show what's going on inside you right now. Not trends, not guesses, your biology. With your results, Viome gives you clear, personalized, actionable guidance. Which foods help you, which ones don't, and which supplements your body actually can benefit from. All based on the world's largest gut health databases and thousands of clinical research studies. Many people who use Viome report better digestion, more energy, and an improved mood within months. So stop guessing. Start knowing.
And maybe still eat the kale?
Maybe. Learn more at Viome.com/know. V as in Victor, Iome.com/KNOW. And use coupon code VIOME50 to save $50 off your purchase.
And eat everything blue.
No, thank you.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling. including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hi, this is Congressman Jimmy Petronas. This is your reminder that we're officially in hurricane season. Don't wait for a storm to be named to get your plan together, especially if you have pets or elderly family members. Make sure you have at least 3 days of food and water and medications. Go to jimmyhelpsyou.com for more tips. Together we can prepare, and together we will respond to whatever Mother Nature has in store.
Paid for by official funds authorized by the House of Representatives.
Planning your vacation?
Chris, what do you want to go on a vacation?
Why not take Pensacola right now with Chris and Austin with you?
We're going to go to the beach.
No, take News Radio along via the app.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Just go to your app store, search News Radio 92.3, download the app.
That's good.
And listen to Pensacola's news leader with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free.
That's really good.
Get it now and tap the app to get News Radio 92.3, no matter where in the world you are.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have y'all with us today. Joining us now by phone, we have Mayor D.C. Reeves, and this segment is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Great to have you. Lots of big stuff going on in the city. First thing, obviously the biggest thing, is the resident satisfaction survey that came out. I know you have your takeaways. You've studied it in depth. I surveyed it. I wouldn't say that I'm any kind of an expert on it. I kind of, you know, looked over it a little bit. I think the top line takeaway that some people have focused on is the small decrease in overall right direction. It was 67% in 2023. It was 70% in 2024. Now it's at 66% in 2025. To me, those are margin of error shifts, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know I got a chuckle out of the report of a decrease. You know, listen, at the end of the day, 2/3, give or take. And a lot of it depends on when you take it. If we took it right after a monumental event in the city, it's going to go up. And if you took it right, you know, if you went into the field during something that was a struggle or a snowstorm or a hurricane, and you said, what's the direction of the city? It's going to go down, right? So I absolutely agree that what we're focused on, the fact is, in 2007, 28% of our community thought we were going in the right direction. And in 2000, mid-2010s, not even 50% thought. So the idea that we've been able to sustain that 2/3, do you know how many mayors or how many city councils love the idea that 2/3 of their entire population think that they're going in the right direction? That's a very, very good bar to be at right now, especially when you look at, in a not-so-distant past, that we couldn't even get 30% of people to say that Pensacola is going in the right direction. So, and that's not just the mayor's office or the city council. That's many people out in the community that have really helped make that happen. From investment to nonprofits to so many other folks to media. I mean, just all the different factors that make our city great that we know is doing so well. And so we're certainly proud of that.
And it's, you know, this is not a knock on the Haas Center in any way. It's just, it's hard to know how much to attach a general sentiment expression like that to the functioning of the city of Pensacola, because, as you say, you have volunteer organizations that make the quality of life what it is. You have, non-city government functions, whether it's ECUA or whether it's, you know, providing water or whether it's the county or, you know, the sheriff. There's, and of course, people are not typically all that savvy about distinguishing, well, I'm going to blame the state for that and I'm going to bless the city for, you know,
right.
It's are you happy with how things are going number? And a lot of things that are outside of your control and a lot of things that are within your control fall within that. But as you say, sustained at 2/3 is a pretty good mark. Other takeaways from the survey for you?
Yeah. And to elaborate on that, I think it goes to your, I agree with you. And I think those points balance out, right? Because the city's going to take some blame for an FDOT road, for example.
Right.
That's going to say we're not going in the right direction, just as something that had nothing to do with the city, Might be looked upon positively and say, hey, things are going in the right direction. So,
wait at McGuire's is too long, or the wait to get to the beach is too long, or what, you know, like it's all of those things packed in. I haven't seen enough of my favorite bands lately. It's just, it's a little bit nebulous as a metric, but as long as the metric is consistent, then we can maybe
read
something.
I would argue this, if we were the most crime ridden city in the state of Florida or in the country, if we were on major issues that our citizens care about, there's no scenario of which we would be absolutely failing in any of those, and you would see a number like 66%. You just wouldn't. I mean, right. So on those major issues. So that, you know, we should always be looking to improve. I can think of 15 things I wish we could be doing better, or I hope to be doing better in the next year, right? That we're always striving for excellence. But I think if there were major catastrophic issues happening in the city, there's no way that it would be, oh, yes, we're going to say 66% are going in the right direction, yet we have this major public safety issue or major trust or issue or something like that.
I did think it was interesting to note that the access to the waterfront is the most people said that was their favorite thing about living in the city of Pensacola. You know, that I thought that was fascinating then the cost of living was number two.
Yeah, it's actually been multiple years it's been doing that, and that's why we focus on the Sun Trail. Like, there was the survey with landscaping and amenities last night. That's why we focus on Palo Fox Street. So it's kind of interesting when you want to come at that conversation, or some folks that might be critics of those say it's about downtown. We're just reading what the polls are telling us, and that's not a new thing this year. If you go back and look, multiple years, one of the things that people love the most is that they get to access the waterfront. They can see it. They can experience it. That's why Bruce Beach happens. That's why Sun Trail happens. That's why. And so those are amenities for everybody. It's not only people who live within 0.1 miles of that. And we went down and surveyed who's using them. It's people from all over the city and visitors and everything else. So that's why I think placemaking economic development is important, is that you got to look beyond just the surrounding neighborhood and say, who are these amenities for? And it's really for everybody in the city. And you can see it through that data point right there.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a couple accidents on the big board right now. It just happened on southbound Highway 29 at the W Street intersection. That's causing some major road blockage. Also still dealing with Highway 90 and Glover over in Milton. Still seeing some delays on Highway 90. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, we found out something in the city council meeting, or maybe it was the CRA. I think it was the council meeting. Anyway, because they were moving funds around. The two meetings are back-to-back, and I listened to them both. I think it was Amy Toodle was given the brief to the city about how, or to the city council about how the two-waying of Martin Luther King Boulevard is just not going to happen anymore because FDOT decided that they weren't interested. They wanted to do a roundabout. They wanted to give us possession of the road. They Chinese inspectioned us on the information we needed to get going. What happened here?
Yeah, it's a relatively recent development, and I probably wouldn't go as far as anything. FDOT, we have a great relationship with, and sometimes we agree on things, and sometimes we disagree on things.
Okay.
If you just saw the docket that we have with FDOT, you can't really isolate decisions to one particular issue because there are dozens and dozens of issues. Just a little trivia question to prove that point. The city only possesses one bridge in the entire city limits. Every other bridge structure is possessed by FDOT. Do you know how expensive that would be for us to maintain? So in other words, our relationship is so intertwined on a daily basis about everything that we do. And so, yes, this was something that they looked at the numbers, and I have to give Commissioner May credit. You know, we hustled up, and our council, we hustled up $600,000, which was the additional need for the design of the two-way. And then we were going to kind of kick the can to say, all right, well, if FDOT can find the funding. Well, ultimately, they've said, hey, we're not comfortable moving ahead with this design because we don't see on the horizon this funding becoming a reality. So if you want to do it, you would have to find the $6 million. You would have to then take over and maintain the road, which is, as you can imagine, not a very smart decision right now amongst property tax conversation.
Right.
And so it basically set the table to say, hey, this isn't really a reality for us. So, you know, unfortunately, it's something that this is a conversation that started well before me.
Oh, yeah.
This has been going, I think,
at least since Grover. Yeah.
So generally speaking, I would support two-waying it to slow that traffic down. Sometimes the chips don't fall the way that you want them to. And then we do the best we can and move on to the next project.
Burdon is going to Triumph for what? The second round of their presentation there?
That's right. Yeah, it's the term sheet round. We're going to go this month. I believe the meeting's over in Panama City. So we're very, very excited for that. Obviously, lots of work happening in the background to get down to terms and how rent's going to work and how long and how many jobs and all of those different things. And adding to the complexity is it's really a three-way negotiation. You've got three parties. You have Triumph, you have the city, and you have Burdon. And everybody's kind of got to agree on everything. So that took some time, probably maybe a month longer than we had hoped. Nonetheless, you know, we're still blowing and going, and you go three total rounds ultimately to Triumph. But we've already been once successfully, and now we get to finish out these last two.
And for people who may not know, this is the project out at the port. It would be up to what, 2,500 jobs is my memory. If it comes to fruition, is that right?
2,000 jobs, average salary, 80,000. They would be the largest employer in the city at full steam.
Yeah.
And what we're most excited about, what does that mean for us? What it means for us is $160 million of annual payroll coming into our city, being spent at our grocery stores, at our restaurants, supporting our families, not just in the city, but across the region. And so this is a major, major impact project for us. And we're very, very excited to see this come to fruition.
I remember there was all this drama over the Baptist redevelopment plan and the Bayou District and all of that. And of course,
right.
You know, Delarian Wiggins, who is the chairman of the CRA, and also it's his district, and basically put the kibosh on that. I thought very mistakenly, because I thought they were a good opportunity. And your office kind of has said since then, well, okay, if you don't want that, then you come back to us with something. Well, they've come back to us, right? We're going to get a vote on a but it's not a full plan. It's a kind of a half step, and then we'll figure out the rest later. Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, to be frank, it's right around the exact same RFP we had 10 months ago.
Okay.
There's maybe some nuance to it, and I certainly support Larry. What I said at the failed vote in October is say, hey, listen, you know, we've given it our best shot, and if Councilman Wiggins had some concerns over any particular issues, I mean, I think, you know, we have a great working relationship. I think it's his opportunity to go in and do it the way that he believes most voices his constituents. And I have that level of trust with him to say, okay, great. If there was something about this process that you didn't agree with, and I don't know that he said that, you know, that it's one tangible issue, but nonetheless, then let's run out there and get it done. So Cliff Collins, we've certainly been supporting Councilman Wiggins' effort in that with our staff up on the seventh floor to be able to help move this thing forward. So, you know, listen, the best case, it's kind of the old saying, you know, best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, second best time is today. I would have loved to have already been starting community engagement 10 months ago, but that's water under the bridge at this point. So the bottom line is I really want to get community engagement started, because our goal was to not be staring at an empty piece of property while we were asking the community what they want to see. So this is strictly community engagement, really the same way it was last time. It was not for development services last time either. And so we'll see how this goes, and I certainly hope it's successful.
The Fricker Center was supposed to have a groundbreaking today, but that's going to be pushed back because of rain, basically. Is that the concern?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're going to move it to the 26th.
Okay.
At 9:30 in the morning next Friday.
We don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to ask you, because we talked to David Stafford last week. You came back from going to the United States Conference of Mayors meeting. You've been appointed to the Board of Trustees there, which is a pretty high honor, especially for a town of our size. Comment, thoughts?
Yeah, you know, obviously an honor to be basically one of 15, the president, two vice presidents, and the 12 trustees representing every mayor in the United States. So certainly grateful. And, you know, that probably is a big compliment to get that from your peers, from your colleagues, bipartisan. There's all Republicans and Democrats. So that was a great honor, and excited for that. And that really just means more opportunity to be at the table for Pensacola when all of these policy discussions happen, advocacy discussions happen. And so that I'm really excited for our city as well. And I'll give you one anecdote from the meeting. Why these meetings matter and why these relationships matter is I was chairing the Jobs Education Workforce Committee meeting, and we had somebody from the Department of Labor there. And I've said, hey, we've got this big shipbuilding project. And he's like, hey, please make sure we're clued in. So, I mean, we'll have somebody federally from the Department of Labor come into a workshop with Burdon, with ST Engineering, with all that. And they have significant funding streams to be able to help build the workforce. well, that meeting probably doesn't happen, and maybe it's only a cold email from Little Pensacola, Florida, to the Department of Labor. Well, now that dynamic just changed because of that warm welcome and that connection that you make when you're there. So that's just one little anecdote of a takeaway of why these things matter and why going to these things and being involved in them help you really build relationships that lead to good things for Pensacola.
I've always said the same thing about Leadership Pensacola. The information I got was great, but the friendships I made have been vital in everything that I've been able to do since then. And that is that networking, connecting, relationships, knowing people, having their phone numbers and all that stuff. I mean, that's a vital thing to make stuff happen. Well, I always like to end with a lightning round, Mr. Mayor. I know you used to do sports reporting. Do you have a least favorite sport to watch?
Ooh, man. I mean, are you picking on soccer right now? I actually kind of like it.
You're the one who said it. Yeah, I didn't bring it up.
I'm an equal opportunity. You know, I'm just a blind advocate. I'm trying to think of anything.
All right, you like watching them all.
How about this? Hockey on TV.
Thank you.
Not
yes.
Interesting to me.
It's impossible to follow.
Now,
you can't see the
puck. Shout out Ice Flyers. Hockey in person, I think
totally
it's
different.
Very, very fun.
Totally different. Do you wash out your garbage cans either inside your house or the ones outside that you put out to the curb?
It's an election year, so I'm going to say every week I have a structured.
The mayor admits he wastes water. See, everything can be spun the wrong way, right?
I guess my political answer is probably not as often as I should.
Oh, there you go. All right. And then the last one, what are the hours during which it is okay to mow your lawn, use a leaf blower, use a chainsaw, whatever? What are the hours in the AM you can start and the hours in the PM when you should stop?
Well, I think the heat is what it's not rule. It's not ethics. I think it's heat that stops you. You shouldn't be out there, you know, past like 11 or noon. But I mean, I think the common courtesy is like 8 a.m.
8 a.m. And then what about at night? How late at night?
Well, again, I feel like giving somebody some dusk is okay. I'll say 7 p.m. Is that maybe 8? I don't know.
Okay.
If it's still daylight outside, yeah, I think I'm all right with that.
All right, fair enough. We had an event in Milton. This is going to be our frivolous topic for the day. That's why I ask. Mayor D.C. Reeves, is always a pleasure. So we look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you are on I-10 westbound approaching 9 Mile, you're going to be experiencing about a 9-minute delay through that construction zone. Also still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and W Street. Partial roadblock. The inside lane is blocked, so just be aware of that on southbound. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Need to move across town, across country, or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets pets in our communities, too. By supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You got a pen?
Don't need one.
News Radio 92.3. David Wayne has a quick headline or two for us. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Alleged insurance CEO killer Luigi Mangione is set to appear in court today for a hearing in his state trial. The hearing was expected to take place yesterday, but had to be canceled due to a paperwork error.
All right, very good. David, thanks so much for the update. Have you been following the controversy in Major League Baseball over the Pride hats? Very interesting stuff. We'll talk about it coming up next.